is Paul's letter to Christians in the city of Corinth. And Corinth was the eye of Greece. It was the hub. It was the information center, the place of learning. It was uni everything. Oratory, prose, poetry, various disciplines of arts and learning. And here Paul the Apostle came into the very midst of the learned, and he brought his manifesto. But we preach Christ crucified.
Welcome, and today again we're on a mission for marriage between one man and one woman. Everyone is called to build up their marriage. There is good sound advice in never get between a man and his wife. That should be self-explanatory. We should all act and speak so that we honour the marriage bond. But it should start with the couple themselves. In so much of married life, issues and decisions will be made on answering the question, will this make my marriage stronger? Let's think about the little things that work to build up marriage. The very first has to be the Apostle Paul's command for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Now, this is a tall order because it gets to the deep sacrifice the Lord made for his bride, the church, by suffering unto death on the cross of Calvary. No man has ever loved his own wife so. The secret elixir of marriage, then, is self-denial. Every husband and every wife needs a large dollop of self-denial to sweeten their marriage. The Lord Jesus showed us what self-denial is. He was Lord of all, yet he became a servant. From heavenly glory to earth, and through earthly life, from the cradle to Calvary, even the death of the cross, our Lord came to pursue the redemption of his bride. Men, let us take stock of that. When things become sticky in marriage, try humility. Try taking second place, and be willing to go the second mile. It always takes more than 50% effort to make relationships work. Are you willing to do that with your own wife? If I were to counsel couples seeking guidance for their future marriage, I would highly recommend or even insist that both husband and wife learn the whole 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the chapter of charity. I would say, don't proceed with marriage until you have taken this to heart and are ready to practice every day. Now, I want to read this. Just listen and let this sink in, and see here God's way of a blessed marriage. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. This love or charity is not just sensual or erotic. It is the great gospel word agape. It is the love with which God gave us his Son, and it is the love that took our Lord to the cross to redeem us as his church. It is self-giving love. It is to give yourself to serve and bless another. That's what blessed marriages are made of. Self-denial, charity, giving of yourself, honoring one another, even to the point of esteeming the other as better than yourself. What wife would not respond with humble gratitude to submit to such the self-denying love of her husband? So start today, my dear brother and sister. To sweeten your marriage, read, memorize, and put into practice 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for charity never faileth. See how it will build up your marriage and continue making this the test of how to live with the love of your life. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that this little article on marriage has been a help and a blessing. Today we're moving to the message on preaching Christ crucified. Do we? Do we do it sufficiently? Do we do it frequently? Do we do it with all our hearts? Do we do it in the Spirit and with the power of God? I trust that today that the Lord will minister to your heart as we let the Bible speak on preaching Christ crucified.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 23 is our statement. It is really a manifesto. These are the words, but we preach Christ crucified. This is Paul's letter to Christians in the city of Corinth. And Corinth was the eye of Greece. It was the hub. It was the information center, the place of learning. It was uni everything. Oratory, prose, poetry, various disciplines of arts and learning. And here Paul the Apostle came into the very midst of the learned, and he brought his manifesto. But we preach Christ crucified. We now are living in the information age. There's hardly a city in the country that doesn't have a major university. There is hardly a home that is not connected to the World Wide Web, where you have access to all kinds of information through Google, Wikipedia. It seems that knowledge and news is at everyone's fingertips. But even though we're living in the 21st century and the information age, this is still our manifesto. We preach Christ crucified. The Apostle Paul classified wisdom into two different categories. He called wisdom that was from above, and then the wisdom that is from the earth. And he talked to these philosophers and these Corinthians about these words of wisdom from men. They were sophists. They loved learning, and they wanted to concoct and bring together something new, something exciting and titillating. Paul did not preach the wisdom of men. And he expounded to these Corinthians that through the wisdom of men, you will never know God. He believed in the wisdom that was from above. A wisdom that's found in the cross. It was heavenly wisdom. It was wisdom that made the simple to be wise. And it was also marked with the foolishness of preaching and preaching the cross. Need I tell you that the Apostle Paul took his stand right there? And though he was dealing with philosophers and the learned and the pressures of the city, he took his stand and he said, "But we preach Christ crucified." Need I tell you that this must be our stand in our generation? There are three divisions that I want to take out of this text, "We preach Christ crucified." Number one, there is here a group determination. We preach Christ crucified. This is not a text of isolation. This is not a stand that we're all alone. We. And we'll examine what Paul meant by that word "we" and this group in his determination to preach the cross. The second thing you'll find here is a gospel definition. Preaching Christ crucified. That's the apostles' definition of the gospel. There's a lot of people going around today and they call themselves evangelicals and gospel preachers, and they never get to the cross, or they never expound the doctrine of the cross. And then thirdly, there is here a guarded discipline, preaching Christ crucified. You know, it's easy to preach five rules for a happy home. It would be easy to preach five ways to climb the ladder of success. But to preach Christ crucified, that has to be guarded. And we want to do that today. And I hope that you will hear me through in these three major points on this sermon. So I'll give you the outline again so that you'll know where we're going. We have a group determination. We have a gospel definition. And we have a guarded discipline. In these words, we preach Christ crucified. As I said, Paul was not all alone in this work of preaching the cross. What he was getting at, though, was in the church at Corinth, there was politics, party politics. There were divisions, and some were saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of the group of Cephas," and there were little pockets of loyalties, one with another. And Paul was saying, all of these things are petty divisions, dividing over baptisms, dividing over rights and personalities and leadership and all of that. Those things are petty in the great scheme of the gospel, because we preach Christ crucified. And that was true of Apollos, and it was true of Peter or Cephas. It was true of every man in the church in Corinth. They preached Christ crucified. So all those petty things, put them aside. And the one thing that ought to unite Christians and believers in the 21st century as we take our stand to preach Christ crucified is that we agree that the cross is the central, most important issue of the gospel preaching church. If we're not united on that, then we cannot come together and say, we preached Christ crucified. When I was a new Christian, on Easter, I went along to Dr. Paisley's church where there would be an Easter Monday convention. There were three major meetings, 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m., and you would have over 2,000 people packed into the rafters of that church for every one of those meetings. And behind the pulpit of that church were these words, "We preach Christ crucified." And in a number of our Free Presbyterian churches around the country and now around the world, they use that text to define their ministry. We preach Christ crucified. And I was saved into and called into the ministry of this group to preach Christ crucified. And I would like to think that wherever you go in Canada, in the United States, in the mission field, in England, Scotland, Wales, North or South Ireland, wherever you find a Free Presbyterian church, it will be true that they preach Christ crucified, because it's a group determination. This is what we're committed to. This is what we're about. Because the world is in desperate need of this message of the cross. It's also a stand against works religion. Many think that they can get to heaven by their own good works, by improving their karma or their brownie points to score some merit of acceptance with God. But Paul said that it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul, in his course of ministry over the years, took on the Jews and the Judaizers. They preached their heritage. They preached their race. They preached their traditions. And if you read Philippians 3, he says that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was of a special tribe. He was learned. But all of those things he counted but loss, that he might win Christ. And so every man who is called to preach Christ crucified takes a stand against works religion. You can never get to heaven by your works. You can never get to heaven by your own attempts. All of that is premised upon the false notion that in the inner heart of man there's some good. That if you can get down deep enough, if you can do surgery long enough, if you can just keep them under the radar and keep them under investigation, you will find some good in the heart of man. But the Bible is absolutely opposed to that. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. And all the best attempts, all the religious efforts, all the pilgrimages and the praying and all the religious institutions can never produce a heart that is right with God. All of those things are the wisdom of men. And there's many in their universities today, and it seems there the message of the cross is least popular. And they have their ways and means and learnings that's contrary to the cross. So I want to address with you now, what does it mean to preach Christ crucified? What does it really mean? One thing to join the club and say, we preach Christ crucified, but what does it mean? What do we to look for? That's contrary to the cross. So I want to address with you now, what does it mean to preach Christ crucified? What does it really mean? One thing to join the club and say, we preach Christ crucified, but what does it mean? What are we to look for? Well, there are three R's that are involved. Firstly, there is revelation. This plan of the cross, this whole history of a man nailed to a Roman gibbet, tortured, flagellated, weakened, hanging, bleeding in his own body. That was never man's plan. No one would ever have thought of such a plan. This plan of a suffering Savior, a man in our likeness in human form, upon whom is led the sins of his people, nailed to a Roman cross, that plan came from heaven. And in the wisdom of God, in the mind of the Trinity, came forth this covenant arrangement that the Lord Jesus would take human form and suffer, bleed, and die for our sins. It's the wisdom of God, never the wisdom of man. That's the first R. The second one is regeneration. regeneration. That's the enlightening of the human heart. And the Lord Jesus said that these things are revealed unto us. They did not come out of our own spawning imagination that we could dream up and come to the same conclusion that man has to be redeemed by a cross. No, the cross is a scandal. It is abhorrent. It is contradictory to the natural mind. Man, in his pride, says, I'm going to find it my way. I'm going to go to heaven by my own route. But God says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but the Holy Spirit. And it takes the work of the third person of the Trinity to open the eyes of the sinner's soul to see Christ crucified, to appreciate who he is and what he has done for the souls of men. Our Lord Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast revealed these things to babes and not to the wise. Isn't it strange that Paul also had to say in Corinth, not many noble, not many mighty are saved? A preacher in England, he boasted that outside his church he had the most horse carriages of any church in town. Well, he didn't preach the gospel very well. And if you look at our parking lot, you'll not find many Rolls Royces. And you'll not find too many Lamborghinis and all the expensive makes of car, because God chooses the weak things of this world, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And you'll find that our Lord Jesus often came to the poor, the least, the last. And by his Spirit he reveals to the heart of man the grace that is in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's regeneration. The third R is redemption. Redemption. We have behind in our pulpit text here, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now that idea of a lamb and a sacrificial lamb and a suffering lamb and a bleeding lamb and a sin-bearing lamb goes away back to Genesis. And right through the Bible, you have the revelation of a lamb bearing the sins of the sinner. And of course, our Lord Jesus, John the Baptist, preached it, behold the Lamb of God. He pointed to Jesus, the Son of God, and he said to the people, behold, get your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that beareth away the sins of the world. And so this is redemption. To preach Christ crucified is to preach his sacrifice, his suffering, his bleeding in our place. Now, I don't want to go too far with that because we're going to get to the gospel definition in a little bit. We're still talking here about the determination. And I, as a gospel preacher, must be determined that this will be our ministry. This will be the thing that will do sinners good. This is what God's people need to hear over and over and over again, because it is the old, old story that is ever new. And so we are that group of people today. We preach Christ crucified. It's true here and it's true in our denomination. I wonder, is it true of you? Do you preach Christ crucified? Do you represent a suffering, bleeding, sacrificial Savior? Do you tell the world the good news that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost? Now, there are many churches that don't preach Christ crucified. Oh, they might get somewhat close to it on Easter Friday, but it seems it takes 12 months to get to it. They haven't preached a word of it all year. And then they'll make some reference to Calvary around Easter time. You can't say that such a ministry, they preach Christ crucified, when they spend 12 months on other things other than the cross. There are ministries that preach psychology and growth and the new emergent church that wants to marry the world to the church of the Lord Jesus. You have a determination to make. Are you going to be a part of a ministry that preaches Christ crucified, the wisdom of God, or are you going to join the wisdom of men? Works, man-made, man-centered, man-deluding religion. That brings me to the gospel definition. A gospel definition. We preach Christ crucified. Now, the Christ here means that he is the sent one. If you want to know what the gospel is that God sent his Son. This is an arrangement between the Father and the Son to provide a way of redemption, a way of salvation. Our Lord Jesus was equipped to fulfill all the offices of being our mediator and Savior. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He took our nature. God prepared him a human body. He ministered truth. He suffered on that cross as a priest. Now, that might be strange to your ears today, but you need to understand that our Lord Jesus was exercising a priestly ministry. That's why there are no priests in the Protestant church today, because Christ is our priest. He offered up a sacrifice. He made atonement. He intercedes with the Father. His office is a priestly office to represent sinners before God. And this is part of the whole definition of the gospel.
This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. I hope you've been blessed today through the ministry of God's Word. I'd also be delighted to talk with you. My personal phone number is 604-897-2040. Please call to let me know that you're listening, and we can open the Bible and pray together. For all the information about our radio ministry in Canada, and our churches in Buffalo, Scarborough, Port Hope, and Barrie, please go to ltbs.ca. If you have been blessed today, please kindly consider helping us to cover the cost of airtime. Your gift, large or small, will make the difference. You can donate online at ltbs.ca or by mail. Our mailing address is LTBS 18790, 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. My phone number again is 604-897-2040. And remember to join us again at this time next week on this station as we let the Bible speak.